It is my great pleasure to welcome in here Floyd Sullivan, who has written his first novel, and it is a winner, Called Out, a novel of baseball and America in 1908. Floyd, how are you?
Fine. Really nice to be here.
I am flabbergasted, and he's here with his lovely wife, Lucy, too. I am flabbergasted that the main protagonist in this fabulous, ambitious novel, a man named Harry Pulliam, has never... He may have been the subject of some kind of fiction novel before, or may have been the subject of some kind of non-fiction book. You bring this guy to life so vividly that I then went to research him apart of research his real life. You do a remarkable job of breathing life into a fascinating guy. Why hasn't anybody done it before?
Well, thank you very much, first.
You're very welcome. No, you're
I appreciate
very welcome.
The kind words. Back in 1908, he was written about a lot in the press.
Oh, yeah.
He was a very well-known figure in baseball circles at the time. But after the Fred Merkel play, which I guess we can chat about a little bit.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure.
And
well,
the
that
controversy...
Well, that seems to have been his, if not his Achilles heel, his sort of downfall, the tragic element of his life.
That was the culmination of all the pressures he had been feeling over the course of several years, mostly from his enemies in the National League, specifically the New York Giants, John McGraw, manager, now in the Hall of Fame,
yep.
And the owner, John T. Brush, but also other team owners throughout the National League and a little bit in the American League, too. He was under a lot of pressure. It was not a fun time to be in baseball if you were a businessman or if you were other figures.
One of the things that really grabbed me about your book is the way in which you describe baseball and the – not so much a specific game or anything, but the world of baseball in this era is so far apart – from what it is today, that it is hard to even imagine. You do a great job of filling it out, but tell the listeners how screwy baseball was in that time.
I think, at one point in the book, I have one of the characters describe it as little better than a rat fight.
Yep,
and it was a boisterous, rough and tumble game. There was a lot of gambling, a lot of drinking, and the drinking wasn't just in the stands, it was the players themselves. And the gambling and the throwing of games was rampant. John McGraw especially epitomized baseball's struggle to come out of the 19th century and into the modern 20th century.
Yeah.
And he was a guy who would take any measure to win a game and to win a pennant. And, there are classic stories about him locking umpires out of the ballpark and stuff, where he had been in a fight with them the day before, and he had been complaining about the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Mr. Dreyfus, and had been regaling him with anti-Semitic remarks and calling him a gambler, whereas, if a fact... fact was that McGraw was a heavier gambler than Dreyfus ever could have imagined being. But
one of the other things about your book, and again, it's Called Out, a novel of baseball and America in 1908, is America, too, is going through these kind of growing pains. America itself, in virtually every aspect of American life, is trying to grow up to fit itself into this 20th century.
Right. They were still getting used, the country was still getting used to the telephone.
Right.
Still getting used to electricity. Electricity was not 100% throughout society. It was changing from an agrarian to an urban society. In 1908, the year that this book is mostly set, General Motors was founded. The first Model T rolled off the assembly line in Detroit. The Wright brothers took their actual first real flight. They had the 1903 flights in Kitty Hawk,
yeah.
But they were very brief, 55,
sure.
56
right.
seconds or something like that. It wasn't until 1908 that they were able to demonstrate sustained flight of more than an hour and up to 90 minutes, and they were giving demonstrations to the American military into the French military. And but no, but still, nobody knew much about air travel at all at that time.
Yeah.
So all these things were happening at the same time. And
that's what makes this, I think, such a not only successful book, but ambitious to start with, Floyd Sullivan. When you sit down and sat down and said, I think I'm going to write a novel with baseball as an element of it, as a crucial element, as the guy, as my lead protagonist being a bigwig in baseball at the time, did you at that moment think to yourself, wow, and there's all this other stuff I can incorporate, or was it a more organic?
It happened pretty gradually. I first became interested in the story of 1908 because I'm a Cub fan, and that when I started writing this book 10 years ago or more, they hadn't won a World Series since 1908.
Yes.
And then Ken Burns had this documentary film in nine innings, as they called it back then, called Baseball. And the second episode featured a story about the Fred Merkle play of September 23rd. And it was such a crazy play. Still goes down in history, in baseball history, as one of the nuttiest plays ever. And I heard this, and it's 1994. I'm 44 years old, and I'm thinking, I've been a Cub fan all my life, all my conscious life, and I've never heard this story.
The hard life for anybody. Yeah, it was a hard life.
It was. It's like, that's crazy. That's crazy. How come I never heard of this? And so I started looking into it.
And you're a trained historian. I mean, you have a degree in history.
Right,
yes?
From Circle. Yeah. We called it Circle at the time. Now it's UIC.
I was there for a short time, too.
Yeah.
Maybe we
yeah.
saw it. They were still building the place
when I went there. Yeah, they sure were. There was a new building about every year.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding. We got to take a break. We're going to spend the next half hour with Floyd Sullivan talking about Call Down, a novel of baseball in America in 1908. It is filled with compelling characters and a lot of compelling events. We'll tell you what the Fred Merkle thing is for those of you who don't know. It's about baseball and, as I would like to say, so much more. Baez singing the songs of her one-time boyfriend, Bob Dylan, from the late 60s era. I'm in here with Floyd Sullivan, whose novel is Called Out, a novel of baseball in America in 1908, published not long ago and available everywhere, like Amazon. Amica Press is the publisher. It's a great thing and a remarkable thing in this day and age to get a book published anywhere, as Floyd well knows. It is his first novel. It is terribly ambitious. It's set in Chicago and New York with a couple trips to Cincinnati, I think.
Pittsburgh.
It focuses on the National League president, a man named Harry Pulliam, who was a former newspaper man and a controversial figure. As we said before, I don't know if it's his downfall. One of the reasons I think he's been buried by history's dust is the Fred Merkle. I mean, I know the Fred Merkle to do. What was it, Floyd Sullivan?
In September of 1908, three teams were vying for the National League pennant. Actually, three teams were very close in the American League as well. It was one of the tightest races in both leagues, maybe in history. And the National League, it was the New York Giants, the Chicago Cubs, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. On September 23rd, the Cubs were within percentage points of the Giants, and we're talking about the last week of the race.
Yeah.
So they needed the game very badly. It was played at the Polo Grounds in New York City, and it went to the ninth and was a 1-1 tie in the bottom of the ninth with two out. There were men on first and third. The man on third was represented the winning run. The guy on first was a 19-year-old rookie.
He was the youngest kid on the team.
Yes,
right?
one of the youngest in the majors.
Yeah,
named Fred Merkle, and it was the first game he started that year. He was in because the normal first, their everyday first baseman, Fred Tenney, was sick.
Sick, drunk, or whatever. Yeah, who knows?
Anyway, so he actually got a hit that he thought should have been a double. But he ended up on first because they didn't want him to be thrown out as a third out of the inning at second base to end the inning. They had a legitimate scoring threat, and the runner on third would have won the game. So next batter gets up. Al Bridwell was his name, and he hits a clean single over Johnny Evers of the famous Tinker to Evers, to Chance, double play combination. Goes into right field. Merkel takes off. Back then, they had a takes off for second base. Back then, they had a tradition where if a team won the game on a on a walk off, the fans were allowed to storm the field.
And that's an idea. That's not a good idea.
No, the clubhouse at the Polo Grounds was in center field. So this young Merkel ran about halfway to second base and saw these crazed fans thinking that their Giants were on the way to the pennant, stormed the field, running all over the place, looking for Cubs to hit. And so he took off halfway to second base. He took off for the clubhouse in center field. Yeah. Meanwhile, Johnny Evers sees this. And the exact same thing had happened on September 4th in Pittsburgh. And it was Johnny Evers and the Cubs against the Pirates in a 10-inning game that was at a 0-0 tie. And the exact same thing. First baseman on first base, and he pulls up and takes off. Johnny Evers, in both cases, saw this and turned to center field and screamed for the ball. Throw me the ball. Because as far as he was concerned, the ball was still live.
Right.
And if the guy didn't touch second base, he could be forced out. So in Pittsburgh, they did not allow the play, even though they got the ball in, because the umpire, a guy named Hank O'Day, who was from Chicago, by the way, and who's buried in Mount Carmel Cemetery, not far from Chuck Comiskey.
Jeez. So,
anyway, O'Day was the umpire in Pittsburgh, and he was the umpire in New York on September 23rd. Same guy. So Evers looks at him, and he walks up to the mound. Meanwhile, he turns to center field and screams at the center fielder, whose name was Circus Sally Hoffman, to throw the ball into him so they could force Merkel at second base.
Yeah.
Merkel did not run out.
He's running
to the clubhouse. So they throw the ball in. It was a bad throw. The third base coach for the Giants sees what they're doing, because by this time
sounds like such chaos.
It was
out
chaos.
There.
You have to imagine this: hundreds, if not thousands, of fans streaming all over the diamond, throwing things in the air, throwing
disco
bottles.
Demolition.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Much like that, much like that. And so, meanwhile, Hank O'Day, who had been the umpire in Pittsburgh, is on the mound watching all this. The ball dribbles into the middle of the infield. This Giants coach picks up the ball. Two of the Cubs tackle him and fight him for the ball. He finally gets far enough away from these guys to throw it into the crowd to where no Cub can get to it. And meanwhile, a couple other Cubs see where it goes. And it went to a guy, a tall gentleman wearing a brown bowler hat. That's all they said about him. So this guy with the bowler then takes off, because now he sees three Cubs chasing after him. And he's got the game ball. He's got the live ball. And so he takes off. These three Cubs catch up to him and fight him for the ball, tackle him to the ground, but he won't give up the ball. So finally, one of the Cubs, a guy named Floyd, by the way, Floyd Crow, pounds his bowler over his eyes. And in his attempt to free his eyes, he drops the ball, and it goes rolling among all these running feet of the fans that had stormed the field. So Floyd Crow goes literally crawling after the ball. He finally gets the ball, stands up, throws it in to Joe Tinker, who then relays it to Johnny Evers, and they say, he's out. He's out. He's out. Meanwhile, the umps don't want to call the play right away. They go to the clubhouse. And Pulliam was at the game. And the Cubs and Pulliam want to know how they're going to rule.
Yeah.
So the other umpire at the game, Bob Emsley, asks Hank O'Day, did Merkel touch second base? And O'Day said, no, he did not. And they called him out. and that the game was declared a tie because they couldn't resume play because it was chaos and it was also getting dark. This was long before lights.
Sure.
And so they called it a tie. The Giants were as mad as they could be. The Cubs were mad.
Sure.
The Giants thought they won the game on the game-winning hit by Al Bridwell. And the Cubs thought they should have won by forfeit. So now they're all putting all this pressure on Harry Pulliam, the president of the National League, to rule in this case. And what he did was he supported his umpires, which he did in Pittsburgh as well, which he was known to do. At that time, the president of the National League was responsible for the umpires, and he supported his umpires. And he said, they called Fred Merkle out. He's out. Game's a tie. If necessary. If on the unlikely chance that the Cubs and the Giants are at the top of the National League with identical records, then we'll have a replay. There's a replay game. So as fate would have it, it's the last weekend of the season. The Cubs are in first place. The Giants need to sweep the Boston. They were called the Doves at the time, and they need to sweep them to tie the Cubs and sweep them. They did.
Wow.
So they ended up with identical records at the end of the year. There are those who thought the fix might have been in for that series.
It sounded that way to me. Yeah.
So they ended up with identical records, and indeed they had to play that game.
Wow.
And the pressure on Pulliam because of his decision was intense. It was intense from the teams, from the media, from everybody. The newspapers just pilloried him, and he was already under a lot of pressure for a lot of different things. He had fought with the Giants for years.
Yeah.
He had fought with John McGraw for years.
And McGraw seems like his great adversary.
Oh, yes.
You really bring that to the fore.
Yeah.
After the news, we'll talk a little bit more with Floyd Sullivan about Marshall Field and the Everly Club and about Ring Lardner. This book is packed with... If you just heard him talk about the Fred Merkle incident, you sense his passion for this era and this time and for this book. Was this a difficult book for you to write, Floyd? There's
yes.
so much in here. You were saying that Lucy, your bride, would do some research too, and you'd have, we got to get this in here, we got to get this in here. There's so much wonderful stuff packed into this book. Was it difficult at your first novel?
Well, I had written a novel before that almost got published, but it didn't. One of those stories.
Let's call it the first published novel.
That's more accurate.
And you also write at, he blogs, I don't go to ChicagoNow.com as much as I should. It's a Tribune kind of enterprise, but he writes Waiting for the number 4 Cubs at ChicagoNow.com and is a very talented writer. But a novel's a different kettle of fish.
Sure.
I mean, was this difficult for you?
Yes, it was difficult in the sense that it took a lot of research, and I decided to write a historical novel as opposed to a historical account of that year, because there are at least six books about 1908.
Well, you make of Pulliam a fascinating character, and you make Ring Lardner and the Everly Club come to life too, which is which is no small thing. They have a night at the famous Everly Club. You also address the whole Marshall Field troubles at the Everly Club. It's a fine, fine, fine novel called out, A Novel of Baseball in America in 1908. We'll talk more with Floyd Sullivan after the news.
We carried you in our arms on Independence Day.
Welcome back. I have a few more minutes with Floyd Sullivan. We're talking about his first published novel, Called Out, A Novel of Baseball and America in 1908. It's wildly evocative of that time. Pulliam, the man who runs the National League, is with Ring Lardner, arguably the most famous sports writer ever. Pulliam asks, Ring Lardner made a phone call, and Pulliam asks, Mina? And Lardner says, Mina Everly, she and her sister Ada run the Everly Club. And this is some good writing after this flight. A line of carriages and hansoms stood waiting along Adams Street. The doorman motioned for the next in the queue. Pulliam climbed in ahead of Lardner. They drove along Michigan Avenue, a very dark grand park to their left, and the wall of tall office buildings, concert halls, private clubs, hotels, and a large automobile showroom to their right. Bright, warm lights spilling out of doorways and windows and onto the sidewalk and street. Those two gentlemen are going to the most famous brothel in the history of brothels, called the Everly Club, run by Mina and Ada Everly, these enterprising sisters. It had to be a great deal of fun, some of this, to write about. You know, Ring Lardner Pulliam going there. You're a very inventive writer, Floyd, I must tell you. You really are. Because this kind of thing, historical novels can be dry. And yours is anything but. You throw in the whole story of Marshall Field, the second perhaps being killed at the Everly Club and having his body taken back to the home on Prairie Avenue to make it more respectable. Ring Lardner makes an appearance. You have Pinkerton detectives in this thing. What's been the response to the book? And this is obviously a labor of love. First, let me ask you how long it took you to write this.
I think about 10 years, although wow. my first interest was after that Ken Burns documentary, which was 1994.
Right.
So the research I put into it is much longer. But that was just because it was so fascinating.
Yeah,
but
you were into it as a former, you know,
history major.
Yeah.
Just a fabulous story about that era, and specifically about baseball and the craziest year in baseball history, probably still to this date. So that, and then at some point I had talked to a fellow Sabre member, Society for American Baseball Research, and I had co-authored a chapter in a book that he had written about Harry Pulliam's death. And he said that we should write a biography of Harry Pulliam. And so I started to do some research about Harry Pulliam specifically. And I contacted his family.
You got a hold of his granddaughter?
Harry Pulliam's sister's granddaughter.
Gotcha.
And she didn't know anything. She didn't know if there were any papers anywhere. She didn't know if there was a diary anywhere. They had nothing of Harry Pulliam's
at all. Funny how history just fades away.
Yeah, and I actually contacted the Major League Baseball and asked them, do you have the, you know, like a banker box of records?
Sure, some archives.
Yeah. And they had no idea what I was talking about.
Wow.
So it was kind of a dead end. So,
and then you must have gotten a little distracted at the Cubs' rush to the World Series.
Well, actually, by the time I had finished this book and started shopping it around, they still hadn't won the World Series.
Oh, okay. Because that would have destroyed that. That would have made it publication date in 2020 something.
Yeah. So, I got in touch with his sister's granddaughter, who didn't even know where Harry Pulliam's sister, her grandmother, was buried.
Wow.
And this is a very short story. I'd like to tell this. Just one of the nice things that can happen. She didn't know where it was. I had, during my research into Harry Pulliam himself, I had located his grave and his grave marker. It's a big obelisk, kind of heavy obelisk in Cave Hill Cemetery in Louisville. And so I went back online and I found a high definition photograph of that.
Wow.
And I saw that his name was on there, but also Grace Pulliam Kane. That was his sister. Huh. So I emailed back to his sister's granddaughter, and I said, look, your grandmother is buried in Louisville at this cemetery, at this place. And she was so grateful. She said, I know where my grandfather is, but my grandmother isn't buried with him, and I don't know where she is. And now I do. So I'm so grateful.
Nice of you.
And they were about to take a trip to the east. She lives in Washington State.
Your professors at Circle Campus would be very proud of you.
Right.
The other thing, again, the book is called Called Out, a novel of baseball in America in 1908. It's perfect reading as the baseball season begins, as is Floyd Sullivan's blog at chicagonow.com. It's called Waiting, the Number 4 Cubs. He had a very interesting piece in there. Maybe it's not the most recent one, but one about Ernie Banks' new gravesite in Graceland Cemetery. I hate that thing. I don't think it does him it's ugly, and you sort of share that opinion. Floyd, I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed this and how
glad to hear it. Thank you.
And I hope there are more.
There will be.
Good.
Yeah, and thank you very much for having me.
The long-suffering Lucy. Your wife is a troop. The wife of all novelists deserves some kind of award all their own. Floyd, I'll see you soon. Thanks a million.